Abby Halberstadt is a mother of 10, and she is the best-selling author of M is for Mama. She is a popular Instagrammer, she's a speaker, and she's a homeschool mom. And she's got a brand new book out called Hard is Not the Same Thing as Bad. Abby is a dear friend of mine, and you guys are going to be so encouraged today by her wisdom, her humor, and just the practical way that she talks about motherhood and why it is so important that we lean into what God's heart is for raising children and families in this generation. I can't wait for you to meet my friend Abby. This is the Heidi St. John podcast. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. So Abby, welcome to the Heidi St. John podcast. I'm so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks, Heidi.
You're welcome. All right. So this is your first time on my show, but I'm sure a lot of my listeners are going to be familiar with your work. I've done your podcast also, and you and I have a lot of things in common. Tell my audience just a little bit about who you are, kind of what your passion is.
Yeah. Okay. So I am on my podcast. I always start with this little tagline, which I'm not even sure exactly where it came from, but I've just kept doing it, where I say, I'm Abby Halberstadt, happy wife, mama to 10, Bible believing Christian. And the order is not necessarily the importance order. I wouldn't say Bible believing Christian definitely comes first, but, I am a second generation homeschooling mom. I am married to my favorite human in the entire planet, and I'm mama to 10 of my other favorite humans. And it's just a huge blessing to get to spend my days with them. And then along the way, in the last 13 years of being on the internet, the Lord has brought along a readership and a following that have allowed me to write a couple of books. So I have a book called M is for Mama, A Rebellion Against Mediocre Motherhood, and Hard is Not the Same Thing as Bad, The Perspective Shift That Could Completely Change the Way You Mother. And both of them have become Publishers Weekly bestsellers, which totally blows my mind, because being an author and being a published writer kind of was the only little dream in hiding in my heart since I was like 7 years old, as far as professional things. I've been a Spanish teacher. I'm currently a Finnish fitness instructor. And so there's lots of things going on, but that author, that writer, like being the real deal, so to speak, has been kind of this little seed planted in my heart a long, long time ago. And the fact that the Lord allowed that to be brought to fruition and do it with the ability to reach so many people still blows my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's important. And I think as you're sharing kind of a little bit about, you know, all the things that you do, I know that there's a lot of women listening to this who are just like, wait, what? How is she doing all of those things? I always tell people, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person. Like, it's really true. And it sounds to me like you are just hardwired for things, like just, you know, having your hands full is just something that you're, that God's gifted you. You're able and gifted, obviously, to be able to do it. But I want to talk just for a second, because this always comes up. I get the same sort of thing. You know, people will say, well, how did you homeschool 7 children and raise them and write books and, you know, start the Homeschool Resource Center and all the things that you guys have started? And I have said to people for a long time, there's a particular grace over my life for this. It's a call that God has that I've been able to enter into with my husband. And we've had a lot of help along the way. I'm not doing these things by myself. Mm-hmm. Because the main thing, when you're as busy as you are, and you've got 10 kids, what's the age range of your kids?
My oldest will be 18 in about a month and a half. And my youngest two are 3-year-old twins.
Oh, my goodness. So you really mean... You're in it. Like, you're not like just, you're not looking back and reflecting, right? You're actually in, you're in it. It's the daily.
We are potty training and teaching read and getting driver's licenses and all the things. Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake. And so I want to know kind of what you think, because here's when people ask me, and I just taught on this in Indianapolis when I was there a few days ago, that I think that there's a lot of things that, I mean, you look at the Proverbs 31 woman, and that woman was not sitting around letting grass grow under her feet, right? I mean, she was managing her household. She had children. The Bible says her children rose up and call her blessed. Her husband was blessed by her. She was buying and selling property. I mean, goodness sake, she was into real estate development. She had a staff that apparently worked for her at her house, which is sort of annoying. But my point is she had her priorities in line. And I feel like if you want to be successful, because there's a lot of women listening to this who are in a similar season that you are in, or maybe they're, you know, somewhere in the middle of that very busy season. And to me, it's a priority issue. Like, you got to have your priorities in line. And the Bible's pretty clear. It's like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to know what you think about this. Then out of an overflow of what God does between me and him, I pour into that first relationship, which is my husband, right? Yeah. Not more important than my children. It is more important is what I'm trying to say. I feel like if you miss that part, everything else sort of falls apart. So out of an overflow of what God does with you and your husband, you pour into your children. And when the house is in order, then you pour into, I think I'll write a book. I think I'll be a fitness instructor. Whatever it is. What do you think about that? Because I've watched women over the years. I've been an author now for a long, long time. My first major project with Tyndale was published in 2017. But before that, I was self-publishing books. And I have watched women with huge platforms throw it away, really. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it, for likes on Instagram and speaking opportunities and all that. And you and I've had this conversation before. It's not worth it, right? No, you got to keep your eye on what the most important thing is. So what do you think about that? What I was just talking about with regard to priorities and what comes first?
Well, as you said, we are called, the whole law and the prophets are summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And our closest neighbors are our husbands and our children. Yeah. And if we are not loving our closest neighbors well first, and like you say, we're pouring ourselves out for other people and not establishing those boundaries, we are going to reap the whirlwind. It's not going to reflect well in our homes, and it's going to kill our ministry. And so even though if I just list all the things that I do, it sounds like I'm constantly going. Let me say it this way. I had a voice memo from my best friend. If you're not voice memoing your best friend, what are you even doing with your life? It's like listening to your best friend's podcast every day. So we leave each other voice memos all day long, every day, as I'm doing laundry, as I'm doing dishes, as I'm putting away clothes or whatever. And so I was listening to her voice memo and she said, listen, Abby, you know, we both understand what it's like to be busy for different reasons. She has 3 kids. I have 10. She's the one that illustrates my books. And she said, if you did nothing else but keep your children fed and taken care of and all of those things, you would be a busy woman, right? Let's just acknowledge that that's true. So then you have to say, if the Lord brings along an opportunity, what is that going to take from my family? Or do I have margins? Has he given me margins in which to be able to cram pieces of things that I'm required to do, you know? And so I find that he has given me over time more and more self-discipline to recognize those priorities and those boundaries and those margins. And I don't think he allowed me to be a published author until the circumstances of our life allowed it in such a way as we were able to thrive instead of sink. And my husband would say the exact same thing. For years, it was a dream in my heart, but every time I got close, I found this check in my spirit. Not yet. And maybe not ever. I don't feel like the Lord was guaranteeing me anything. Not yet. You're not ready. I'm not ready for you to do this. Your husband's not ready for you to do this. Your children aren't ready for you to do this. His timing has flabbergasted me, honestly. He had me write a book. I signed my contract with my husband's blessing and full support. He is my biggest cheerleader, but he also tells it to me straight if something isn't working, which I love. Yep. And he is our leader, and he is where the buck stops in our home. And so if he says, listen, it's not a good time for this, I say, okay, it's not. That's sure.
Well, and you have that kind of relationship where, because you have a big platform, right? Your husband's not threatened by your platform. This is not, you know, people, I think sometimes look at women, right. And people, I think, will look at, you know, women, especially who are public figures where their husbands really are not, and just go, that's weird. Well, it isn't weird. It's leaning into your gifting and knowing who you are as a couple and knowing what God has done to bring you to the point where you are. And you also have a pretty unique circumstance in that your mom helps you, right?
Yes.
So you have like a superpower, 100%. I think, so tell us a little bit about it. Cause I think what happens is, people, women especially, they're going to look at me or look at you and just go, you know, what in the world? And I always tell people, I didn't do this by myself. Like,
nope.
God's done an extraordinary thing to be able to allow you to do what you're doing. And I thought it was so sweet. Last time I talked to you and you were talking about how much of a help and a blessing your mom is to you.
Yes, 100%. So she is the true Titus II woman. She is encouraging me to love my family. She's encouraging me to pour into them. But she also understands when I have a deadline that if she can be there to wipe some bottoms and to help with reading practice, that she is happy to do that. So we have actually hired her so that she doesn't have to go elsewhere to work, because we don't want her. She has her master's in English. She's been a college professor, a high school teacher for many, many gifted. Years, as well as homeschooling my brother and me growing up.
She's gifted.
Very gifted. And we didn't want her to have to go back into the workforce of grading all those papers and running herself ragged every single weekend. And so part of what my brother and I have done in our ability in certain businesses that we have and things that we do is we make sure that we employ my mom and her gifts so that she is not out there in the workforce having to work 60 hours That's a week really, or 40 hours a week. And so she comes to our house 2 days a week for 6 hours. And basically at this point, I had to swallow some pride to let her do some things at the beginning, because you want to be like, I can handle this. But why would you have her there if you're just doing redundant tasks and following around doing the same things? At this point, we work extremely symbiotically. Sometimes she's doing my flower beds while I'm teaching reading. Sometimes she's teaching reading while I'm putting kids down for naps. Sometimes she's doing all of it for an hour or two while I have a writing deadline. And she can just handle it. She is a superwoman. I love her so much. And she's such an inspiration to me.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Such a gift. And I think it's so, I'm so glad that you've been sharing about just the gift that your mom is. You know, we've been living, as you and I talked about last time on your show, Jay's mom has been living with us and dad too, before he passed away, for almost, I mean, coming up on 15 years. And a lot of people be like, hey, how, you know, you're gone for the weekend. What happens with your kids? Well, mom and dad were there.
Yeah.
Right. And so we had a really unique circumstance, and now my kids are almost all grown, but we had a really unique circumstance that allowed us to do that. And I saw it and still do see it as a blessing in my life. And it helps us to kind of keep our finger on the pulse of our families, because that's really the most important thing. If if you're out there, you know, killing it in the blogosphere or the podcast space or whatever it is, but your marriage is suffering, well, then shoot fire. It's not worth it. And right. I have watched, you know, dozens of women literally throw their families away for platform, for, you know, just a shot at, I don't know, whatever it is. You know, I want to make it, you know, a YouTube channel, or I want to be an Instagram sensation, or whatever it is. And, you know, as somebody who has got, you know, a lot of people that follow me on various social media platforms, I always tell people it is a very lonely space. So if you think you're going to find fulfillment or friendship in these virtual people that, you know, they're real people, but virtual relationships that we spend so much time cultivating online, it just really isn't going to give you what you think it will in the end. What's your experience been?
So I would say that I had that experience for a really long time where it felt really lonely. I hadn't found my niche. I hadn't found kind of my people or my tribe or whatever people say. And I would say in the last, basically since 2020, which is the same year that I wrote that book. And what I started to say earlier is the Lord's timing is so cool, because
yes,
I started writing M is for Mama in 2020, found out I was pregnant with my second set of twins. We have two sets of twins.
It's crazy.
And wrote, oh, what's really crazy, girl, Heidi.
You are like fertile to infinity.
Yeah, pretty much. What's really crazy is that both of my sets of twins are born on the same day. They're 8 years apart on the same birthday. Yep.
Stop it. So you have four kids that have a birthday on the same day.
Super efficient, right?
Wow, girlfriend. I am, like, every time I talk to you, just more and more impressed.
Oh, good job. I don't know that we can be too impressed by that, but it's still pretty cool.
This girl, it's like little fun facts.
It is a fun fact. I wrote M is for Mama while the world was shut down. So there really wasn't much else to do other than gestate two babies and write a book. A whole lot of the things that I was doing, I wasn't doing anymore because of the came to state of the world. Now, I'm not going to be like, oh, look, the world shut down because God wanted me to write a book. I'm not saying that. But still, the fact that he orchestrated that timing is really interesting and cool to me because I wasn't anticipating that at all. So 2020 ended up being this unexpected boon of not free time, but slower time in which I could really learn how to pace myself and write this book. But the other thing that it did was it grew my audience exponentially because anyone that was willing to speak out in truth on biblical cultural issues got lambasted, but they also got people flocking to him saying like, oh, there's some bedrock biblical principles still being talked about. Okay, well then maybe I'll stick around for a while. And so I started building this base and realizing I do know who I am at this point in the Lord and what I'm supposed to be doing here. And I also am starting to realize the things that I just don't need to pay any attention to, like that aren't worth my time. Like you say, that you spread yourself too thin. And the last thing I would say is he brought along an incredible community of like-minded, godly, Bible-believing, bold, courageous women that cheered me on, that did their own cool stuff that I could cheer on. And I found the more that I cheered on, encouraged, and supported other people on social media and said, hey guys, go watch, see what this person is doing. She's doing good things for the Lord. The more I developed these genuine relationships that have lasted for years at this point, they are not my primary relationships. My primary relationships with my family and the couple of really close to me people that I can make space
for. So important.
But I didn't think social media had a whole lot of value for relationships until the Lord showed me there is a way to connect with people, and you kind of have to be willing to look for it, I guess I would say. And so I think what you're saying is mostly true. They can't be your first line of friendships because they're not going to be able to sit with you beside the couch.
Well, and if that's what you're searching for, I mean, you really, you basically said what I'm saying in a different way. You're just saying these are the primary relationships. What I was saying was, I feel like so often we go at it and those relationships become the primary thing. Like we're searching for validation, or we're searching for this thing and we're looking for it outside our home. And God said, hey, this is what I gave you. Start here, start 100%. Here. And out of an overflow, then we start, because we have, you know, I've been writing women's Bible studies for a long, long time, probably about maybe 1500 women that are a part of my online Bible study community. And I love those women and watching them grow in the Lord and looking at their questions and those, you know, private Facebook pages and all those kinds of things, and watching them grow in relationship with each other. It really is a blessing. But if you want to go outside of the influence that God's given you, you've got to have your priorities in line. Understand that the most important thing has got to remain that you're pouring into your husband and you're pouring into your children, and everything that's done out of an overflow receives the blessing of God. And I think when we do it the other way around, we miss the blessing, because the things that are the most important that God says, this is your actual primary responsibility. When we miss that, then we miss the blessing.
I 100% agree. And I think that even though Solomon is right in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
The internet and podcasting and things like that
is a little new.
Made it so that you and I can sit here. I have my twin toddlers down for naps.
Yeah.
And we can chat. And whereas someone is picturing me like jet setting all over the place all the time, I still spend a huge portion of every single day at home, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, the most exciting place I've been other than talking to you on the internet was the grocery store today. Like this is, it's easy to list kind of your things that you do at some point during a week and a day. And people are like, well, that's what's going on every single day at every single moment. And you're so impressive. And I could never, when really, I mean, I've taught a fitness class today, which means I got my work out of the way. I got paid for it. I also took my little kids with me to the gym so that the older kids could keep working on math without 3-year-olds crawling on top of them, works great for us. I went to the grocery store. I came home. I made lunch for my family. I did laundry. And then I put little kids down for naps. And now I'm talking to you. Like, it's so not that exciting, you know?
Yeah. And it's intentional too. I mean, I think that there is something to say about intentionality in your day. I know by talking to you, and you don't get, you know, 2 books written and raise and homeschool 10 children and become a fitness instructor because you're lazy. You have to live your life with intentionality. So I'm interested a little bit, and I know lots of other moms are, in sort of I mean, you just gave us a little glimpse into your day, which I think is so, so important. But you, I would imagine, have become very intentional about how yes. you order your days.
Yes. And I would say that the Lord has really forced me into that, mm-hmm. where there are seasons that I think, I have never been so intentional and efficient with my time, not because I'm so great, but because if I'm not, mm-hmm. I will drown. And I yep. don't want to drown.
Yep.
For the right. sake, for my own sake, but especially for my kids' sakes. And yeah. so, you know, when I get done here, I'm going to go read aloud to my kids while we fold laundry. They fold laundry, I read aloud. It's such a good combo. Dude, I love
that. We did the same. We did that too. Yep. Yep. I miss those days.
Yes. And then I'm going to prep dinner. And then I'm going to take kids to soccer practice. And then I'm going to do some research for another podcast that I have to be on. And then I'm just going to talk to my kids because my older kids like to be up late. Like that's my day. Like there you go. And mm-hmm. there's elements of just really organic being together because we live together and we're a family and we do everything together. And then there's elements of very intentional, like my assistant, who is a unicorn, wonderful, amazing person who makes my life so much better. And I'm so grateful for her. And I've only had her for less than a year. And she just has transformed the way I'm able to do things. Again, we have help and we need to acknowledge that and not pretend like yeah. we are over here just killing it by ourselves or killing it at yeah. all, really, without the Lord's strength. And then yeah. she's like, okay, you have a podcast at 2. This is what you need to do. I need you to turn in this by this time. And so if I had to keep all that in my brain, and I have had seasons where I've had to, you start dropping a lot of balls because there are so many things that you can do, even with Christ's strength. And, you know, mm-hmm. we can do all things, mm-hmm. but at the same mm-hmm. time, we don't want to be pulling all these things that aren't even ours to yeah. carry in.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. It's so good. And I'm thankful. And I think you and I, and the reason I just so appreciate you and that we clicked the very first time I met you is because you have this ability, which I think is very unique among women in the age of social media, to be transparent, to say, listen, I'm not just going to post my A reel for you. I'm just going to show you what it's actually like. And that is what is encouraging at the end of the day, right? It's that honesty. It's being able to say, I had a bad day today, or I said that thing to my kid that I said I would never say, sure. or whatever yeah. it was. I mean, there's that kind of example, I think, ends up being transformational because women can see themselves then. Mothers can see themselves reflected in what you're saying and go, oh, hey, if Abby can do that, then I can do it too. And I think that's transformational. You have an awesome new book out I just want to talk about it for a few minutes called Hard Is Not the Same Thing as Bad. And I love this because, again, you know, I love to tell mothers and actually, you know, married couples, especially, like, everything that's worth doing in this life is hard. Everything. Yeah. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's homeschooling. I don't care if it's trying to get healthy meals. It's so much easier to open a bag of Doritos, right?
100%.
But instead, we're trying to figure out how do we saute green beans so that our kids will enjoy them, right? That's hard, but it's also worth it. Everything that's worth it is hard. How did this become the mantra for you?
Yeah. So I was walking with my best friend that I was telling you about that leaves me her, that we leave each other a voice memo podcast. And she is just such a blessing in my life because, you know, she was leaving me her voice memo podcast today. I'm like, it's like you live in my brain. Like the Lord has given us the gift of, we have some very different personality traits, but they're very complementary. And I'm just so grateful for that. So one of the things that we have done for years, and it has been literally the bedrock of our friendship, has been walking trails and talking to each other. So the gym that I taught at for 12 years, it's not where I am at the moment because it closed because of COVID. But the gym that we were at for 12 years together would let us walk on the trails, even up to like 2 miles away, because it was a long trail, as long as they had our numbers and they knew where we were. So our kids are in childcare when they're little and we're walking on these trails. And so we would just talk about everything. I mean, just
I love it.
What's going on in our lives, what the Lord is teaching us, what we're struggling with. And I told her, and this is years before I had a large following. I mean, I had a faithful following because I'd already been on the internet for probably 5 years at that point. But years before it grew exponentially, years before any books were published. And I said, I have all these women that are messaging me that want to know how a mom of five, because at that point I had six kids. I had six kids and I had a set of twin toddlers who were giving me a run for my money. I talk about that in Hard Is Not the Same Thing as Bad. And then I had a baby. And so I said, they want me to tell them because I'm maybe a couple years ahead or a couple kids ahead of where they are. They want me to tell them how to get out of the hard stuff. It's not really like, how do I persevere through this? It's more like, what's the tip that would help me bypass this difficult thing in motherhood?
And there just isn't one.
Yes. And that's what I said. I was really frustrated. I was like, I don't know what to tell these people, because the thing is, they're wanting to get out of something that could potentially really grow them and benefit them. That could be a source of maturity that the Lord is probably putting in their path, because it's what they need to learn more patience, to learn how to rely on Him more, to recognize that they're maybe giving up a little too easily, to learn some perseverance, all of that stuff. I said, the thing is, I can't deny that the stuff they're describing to me, or that these scenarios of motherhood are hard. But the thing is that hard is not the same thing as bad. And she just looked at me. She goes, tell them that. Like, you don't know what to tell them. Tell them that. And I said, oh, you think that's going to go well? And she said, whether it does or not, it's the truth. Yeah. And so I started using this phrase and using this hashtag, and it just took off, because it was like a tiny little light bulb. That's why the subtitle of the book is The Perspective Shift That Could Completely Change the Way You Mother. But I think you could put another verb in there. The way you parent, the way you are a wife, the way that you're an employee, the way that you are a friend. The thing is, when we see that hard, our culture tells us to run because it's not serving us. But the Lord actually says that perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. And our hope is Christ. So of course He does not disappoint, because even when we're pretty disappointing in our own strength, Jesus never is. And so she was like, listen, Abby, this is the heartbeat of your personality and your character, and like what the Lord's teaching you and what you have to offer the world. It's what my mentor and de facto editor of my books, who's also one of my best friends, told me. She said, this is what the Lord made you to tell people. Like, actually, this is what they need to hear. Because we have a society that's giving up so easily in so many areas, but especially in motherhood, and they need hope to grab onto. And He's given you an ability with words, and He's given you a passion for this, and this is what you need to do. And of course, then He gave me the opportunity, because the opportunity wasn't there other than microblogging on social media. And so that walk is where that phrase just popped out of my mouth. And it's not unique to me. I've heard versions of it elsewhere, but no one had ever said it to me at the time. And so much of the time when people hear it for the first time, they're like, I'm putting that backwards on my forehead so I see it in the mirror. I'm putting on sticky notes in my car. I'm writing it on my refrigerator. I'm writing it on a, you know, a dry erase board, because I need this smacking me in my face constantly as my toddler screams at me, as my teen has a bad attitude, as I have to do that annoying chore yet again, as my husband isn't considerate of my needs, or whatever it is, that I am doing everything not as unto my own ease. I'm doing everything as unto the Lord. And that means that when it's hard, it's still from Him, and He's not surprised by it. And it can be good. I don't say that all hard things are good, but just because it's hard doesn't mean we immediately slap a negative label on it and run away from it.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Yeah. And I honestly, I mean, this is part of what you're doing that I think women are resonating with, is you're telling the truth, right? And we've been told that truth is subjective, Abby, that you have your truth and I have my truth. And that actually isn't true. It's something is either true or it isn't. True. And you're able to objectively say, you're able to objectively say that hard isn't the same thing as bad as it relates to the dailies of motherhood, right? And the dailies of, like what you're just saying, you're just going to work. I mean, I often think to myself, because I just got in late last night from Indianapolis, while I was still, you and I were talking about this, while I was still on the plane, you know, people are texting me. One of my kids had been in a devastating car accident. So I'm up on an airplane, you know, getting text messages from people that are, you know, witnessing the scene of an accident. I looked at my husband and said, we're going to get the worst news of our life on an airplane. Like I had to really, and he just reminded me, he's like, you have to remember that God is always in control.
Like 100%.
We walk this thing out and he will be here. And I know that the places that we grow, I mean, my daughter's fine, by the way. I don't want anyone to go, wait, finish the story.
Yeah.
By the grace of God, she escaped. She should have died. I mean, that accident was devastating. And when you've got as many kids as we do, you've got lots of opportunities. There's a lot more opportunities for hard things to happen. And we grow in the hard things. And that reminded me, man, I'm gonna hug my kids a little bit harder tonight. I want to make sure that each one of them knows that I love them. You never know what life's going to throw at you from one minute to the next.
No.
And we're called to live in and walk in and demonstrate for our kids that authenticity of walking through the hard things too. We walk through the hard things and we keep our eyes on the one who made us. You made a point in your book about, you know, social media in particular. And I mean, I've noticed this for a long time. I built my big following on Facebook a long time ago when Facebook was cooler than it is now. and you know, hit, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 400,000 people that followed me there. And a lot of what I was saying was that the internet, social media, the social media campaign, certainly the pro-choice generation that we are immersed in right now, devalues children. We see this all over social media, these memes that speak poorly of children. And you talked about this. Why do you say that this tearing down, this degrading of children and motherhood as a general rule right now holds such an appeal to so many people online?
I think it's because that there is such a contagious element to, the Bible tells us to do everything without complaining or arguing. It's not because the Bible is all about stuffing your emotions and never acknowledging that you're struggling. We see the Psalms, we see Lamentations, we see the prophets, and they are just crying out to God, I'm struggling. But they are primarily aiming their sorrow and their frustrations at God and asking him for deliverance and asking him for answers, right? Or we talk about in Proverbs constantly, seek out wisdom. Seek out wise understanding. Look to someone who has gone before and get answers from people who desire to honor God and love you well. Well, that's going to be the people that are close to you. It's probably not going to be a random group on social media. It's probably not going to be a forum that is pretty committed to complaining and arguing, because social media tends to breed that. So I think that there is a very contagious, socially contagious element to feeling justified in what you're going through, to feeling related to hardcore by other moms, like, oh man, I can't stand it when my kid does that either. So I give an example in MS for Mama of one of these kind of, I call them mommy snark accounts, where kind of they make their following really engage by talking about the hard parts of motherhood in kind of crass or sarcastic ways. And I think it's a huge appeal, even for Christian moms that were like, you know what? I'm over this. I'm just going to blast it, you know? And most of these aren't Christian accounts. So they don't have that check of the Holy Spirit saying, oh, whatever's good, whatever's right, whatever's true, whatever's admirable, anything that's extra praiseworthy. They're not using that as their litmus test, right? So this mom is saying, if you haven't given your three-year-old the finger behind your back today, you're not doing it right. And the comments just roll in. Oh man,
it's like wine o'clock. Like, we just can't wait to be done with our kids for the day so we can, you know, get away from the kids or whatever it is.
Yeah. Right. And there are so many memes, and they are played for laughs. They're played for likes. They're played for relatability. They're played for virality because they get shared a ton.
100%. Yeah.
And so social media has the potential for great good. The Lord, I think, has given it to people that steward it well as an opportunity to reach communities that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do. And I think that aspect of it is really cool. The aspect of it that I was talking about of like creating community and finding like-minded people who love God, so cool. The opportunities that you can get through it that wouldn't otherwise be there that the Lord brings along, they're great. But we have to be really aware of the negative aspects of it as well, which if we are being encouraged to mock our families, if we are being encouraged to wallow in our frustrations instead of look for solutions, that's going to be a red flag that perhaps that social media account or that interaction that you're having is not God-honoring and probably not going to serve you or your family.
Yeah. And if you, and if you've got your spiritual antenna, I guess, you know, up for that, in your making sure that what you are allowing into your heart and into your mind and into that space, right? We don't have a lot of space in our hearts for things. And something that I have been really, convicted about is probably the right thing lately, you know, because we go through seasons of motherhood and, you know, I'm well into my journey as a grandmother now because we have our fifth grandbaby due this summer and our oldest grandson is 11. So, you know, we've been kind of at this thing for a little while and I realized that I sort of had lost my joy. And I think it's easy for us to sort of complain, you know, life is just so daily. Why do they want dinner every single night? You know, and it's the same, like what you were saying at the, you know, toward the beginning of the show today, you know, we can complain because we've done that chore for the 10 millionth time. And how come there are 700 unmatched socks in my laundry room, right?
At least.
And all the things. Yeah. And we can sort of lose our joy. And something that God's been just putting on my heart. And in fact, I'm writing about it right now, but just this, we should be, joy is a fruit of the spirit, right? It's evidence that he is at work in my life and it's not dependent on my circumstances. Doesn't have to do with how my kids talked to me that day or whether or not my husband is meeting my needs like I thought that, you know, maybe I wanted him to, or how things are going at work or any of those things. Joy is the unmistakable sign of the presence of God at work in our lives. And when he's at work in our lives, then we get to show that first to our people, right?
100%.
To the people in the four walls of our home. And I'm wondering, you know, as you have gone through, you know, this seasons of motherhood, because motherhood is so seasonal, right?
Yes.
You've got all the seasons in your house right now. And I'm wondering if you also have noticed this sort of in this perspective where we're sort of degrading children and talking about how motherhood is just so hard and I just need my alcohol to escape it or whatever it is.
Right.
If you also see that we've lost our joy kind of at the same time, because it seems to me like those two things go together.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They 100% go together. I don't, and if you look, I've talked about this before on other podcasts, probably mine as well, but one thing that the Lord has given us, the Bible says that God's power has given us all that we need for life and godliness. Mm-hmm. And that sounds very spiritual. It sounds very ethereal, but some cool things that God has done is he has made our brains to be able to be rewired. And if we wire them toward negativity, if we are constantly focusing on the ways that people are not meeting our expectations, on the disappointment in our lives, we see in Proverbs, it talks about bitterness and how it, like, it rots the bones, envy rots the bones. These things have physical effects and they also have effects on the neural pathways of our brains so that we tend toward negativity the more that we participate in negativity. So 100%, when we choose to see things as a disappointment, as taking from us, as making us less than as a human being, rather than being opportunities to add more to our repertoire as a human being, we do become almost boiled like that frog in the pot, not realizing that we have turned into a bitter person. But the joyous news is we do not have to stay boiled. Like, we don't have to die in this. If we are Christians, we are not dead in our transgressions. And we have an opportunity every single day. You know, we always talk about the mercies of the Lord being new every morning to the point that it becomes a cliche, right? Like, oh, his mercies are new every morning. What does that even mean? It means literally if you have been super negative about your family the day before, you can wake up the next day and make different choices. And the more choices that you make toward asking the Lord to give you His joy. The more choices that you make towards choosing to recognize the good, even in the midst of the hard, the more you have building blocks that stack upon each other and make a scaffold up and out of this pit that you might have gotten yourself in with negativity. So I talk often about the fact that after my eighth child, I dealt with postpartum rage. Did I know that I was in the middle of postpartum rage at the time? No, I didn't even know that it had a name. I just knew I was irritable all the time, that I felt hangry all the time, that everybody seemed to be intentionally trying to get my goat all the time, that no one cared about things like I cared about things. Like, it was a very kind of just frustrated narrative in my head. Now, was I sleeping well? No. Did I have too many things on my plate? Yes. Did I have a lot of, you know, were my hormones out of whack? I think so. So
yeah.
There were lots of, reasons for it. But there was one particular afternoon where I was harping on the fact that my kids had not done a good job of cleaning up. And guys, they hadn't. It wasn't just in my head. They had not done an efficient job of doing what I asked them to do. But I let it get to me. And my husband said, you know, I know that this season is hard for you, and I know you're not getting a lot of sleep, and I have a lot of sympathy for that, but it can't be what rules you. And I realized for about 2 months that it had ruled me more than joy had. And so the Lord impressed upon me this desire to forsake unkind speech and negativity and harshness. And so I started something called the Gentleness Challenge online. And Heidi, the first day, 2,000 women signed up. Like, I was like, I knew I wasn't alone in struggling with this, but boom. And they were like, yes, please, like, help with this. And so I've since written an ebook with a step-by-step. It's a 30-day commitment to only kind speech. And it doesn't mean that you have to start over, because of course, for 30 days to only speak kindly, that would be a miracle. And yet it's amazing what it can do as you do those building blocks and you realize, my brain is less foggy. I'm less, why? There's no reason for this. This doesn't even make sense. Just because I'm choosing to shut my mouth or choosing to speak kind words, why would that change so much about how I feel? Why would I have more energy? Why would I have a clearer mind? Because that's how the Lord made us. When we retrain those neural pathways toward dwelling on the goodness of the Lord and saying, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not because I woke up and my toddlers didn't wipe poop on the walls, because that is the stage that they're in. And it drives me absolutely crazy. And sometimes when I'm wiping poop off the wall and they're helping me in there and it's just such a mess. And I'm thinking, why are we still doing this, guys? Like, why? Sometimes I'm on this tirade of like, Lord, what's the point of this? Like, what are you accomplishing in this? Yeah. And the answer is always the same. I am asking you to be more like me. I'm making you more like Jesus. Good. And so sometimes I'll just start singing this song that I always sing if I don't have anything else to say or sing. And it's, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. All my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear may be a sweet, sweet song in your ear. And I'm going to tell you that even though the Lord can take our complaining, He can take our doubts, He can take our questions, it is a sweet sound in God's ear when we say, I don't know why I have to do this, but you are still good. And I'm learning patience. And thank you for that. Even if you don't feel it, you know, and it's not Pollyanna and it's not toxic positivity. It is an opportunity for you to, by the Lord's strength, take control of that spiral that you've been in. And that is going to benefit you, and it's going to benefit your family, and it's going to have a ripple effect throughout the world. It's so powerful.
Yeah, it is so powerful. And we get to choose.
We do.
We get to choose. We choose how we respond to the daily, what can feel like drudgery of motherhood, right? To the challenges that come up. We get to choose how we respond. And I want to be marked with joy. I want, when my kids look back on my life, I want them to go, you know what, not looking for perfection, because they're never going to find it.
No.
But I want them to be able to say, you know, my mom didn't get it all right, but she loved us. And we knew that she loved us. Mm-hmm. And we knew that she loved being a mom. And we knew that she loved, because her life was marked by that. And we get to make that choice. And I think it's so important for the moms listening, especially, and dads too, because there are lots of men that listen to this show. Man, the little things that you say to your kid become the voices in their heads that they hear for the rest of their lives. It's true.
It's very true.
The way that we love our children, the way that we choose to talk about what it's like to be their parents, right? They'll hear those voices for the rest of their lives. And we get to make those choices today. And you're doing such a good job of mentoring women. I so appreciate it. In your book, you say that your husband, Sean, contributed to the ends of the chapters of the book. Tell us a little bit about your husband.
Oh my goodness. I could talk for a really long time. He's just the coolest guy in the whole wide world. I really, really, really like him as well as love him. And so that works out great. So he's a software developer by trade, super smart guy. Just, I remember there was a very weird circumstance, which was not normal for me because I was not the type of girl that had guys flocking around. I think partly because of my personality. And so at one point, for whatever reason, there were these three guys, Sean being one of them. They were all in the same place with me. We were all bowling and they were kind of all there because of me. And I was like, this is really awkward. And I remember Sean made this Pride and Prejudice reference. I'm an English major, English Spanish major. And so he made this reference to like Elizabeth Bennet from Pride and Prejudice and Mr. Wickham. And I was like, okay, everybody else can leave. Like, go on. This is my guy.
I have found my Mr. Darcy.
I have found my Mr. Darcy. And we email flirted. That's how we first started knowing each other and getting to know each other. And he was clever. And he spelled well and his syntax was great. And he's just a really smart guy. And then he also has built two of our houses. So we have built two houses together and he and his dad have done all the work, like siding and putting in windows and framing everything and sheetrock and floors and just electrical and plumbing and all of it. So very, very motivated guy, hardworking.
Industrious.
One of the steadiest people I know. Hilarious sense of humor in terms of wit and like kind of just that subtle dry humor, but also just calm and patient and generous hearted, will do things for other people. Like he's just a fantastic human being. And he did. He wrote the end of the chapters to Hard Is Not the Same Thing as Bad. He called them Dad Thoughts. And because I have so many people saying that liked Emma's for Mama as being kind of a pushback against these cultural trends of mocking our children and seeing them as a burden. They're like, where's the dad version of this? Will your husband write that? And maybe he will one day, but for now he's contributed to the end of Hard Is Not the Same Thing as Bad for the dads. Cause I know that that helps guys to read from guys. So.
I love that. I love it. We are blessed to be married to extraordinary men. How many years have you guys been married?
19 on June 2nd of this year.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. I love it.
I love it. Well, I just, Abby, I love what you're doing. If people want to follow you, where is the best place for them to do that?
So I write most consistently on Instagram at m.is.for.mama. It's just M is for Mama with dots in the middle so that people could actually read it instead of calling me Myth for Mama. I also podcast weekly at the same name, M is for Mama. And that's one of my favorite ways of just getting to chat with people, even though they can't chat back in the moment, and encourage and address like the topics that they're asking me about. I do a weekly Q&A on Instagram called What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. I'm also on Facebook and I have a weekly meal plan newsletter that you'll want to sign up for because I just give you emails with meal plans in them for free. So.
Ooh, I love that. I should sign up for that. I could use it. I'll tell you what.
That's at misformama.net, by the way.
misformama.net. Abby, thank you for coming on the show with me. It's just been an absolute delight to have you here. And I can't wait to see what God does with you in the years to come, because I have a feeling you're just getting started, girl.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you, Heidi, for having me.
You're welcome. If you guys want more information on my guest today, hop on over to the show notes. I want to say thank you guys for listening, for leaving reviews for the show. We're coming up on 24 million downloads, you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for telling other people about the show. It helps us a lot when you leave reviews. We'd love to hear from you. And every once in a while, we read them here on the show. So thank you for leaving those reviews. If you're interested in signing up for my women's Bible study, hop on over and do it right now. We're getting ready to start teaching about prayer as we wrap up the March study, Bad Girls of the Bible, Gifts Gone Wrong. We're going to be following that up with a study on prayer for the month of April. We'd love to have you join us there. Also at the Faith That Speaks community. You guys, love your people well today. I hope you've been encouraged by Abby. I know that I have. And you got your own people to love. So love them well and ask the Lord to lead you, and He will. Thank you guys for listening. I'll see you right back here again at the intersection of faith and